Let's pray. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We can come together, Lord. We just acknowledge, Lord, that your presence with us. And we open ourselves up to you, Lord. Open our heart to hear, your ear to hear, our heart, Lord, to receive. Lord, that we may be able, Lord, to really be able to appropriate all the things that you have in your word. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the way you're going to work today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue on the fear of the Lord and on the growth that it produces in us. Understanding that help us to walk in a way that is more effective, that is producing more results in our life, the results that God wants to bring for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So understanding, you know, we'll start with Proverbs 15, 16. It says something that is repeated in other scriptures too. It says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Generally, you know, when we get caught up in other things, okay, we had to deal with all the consequences of that. But when we are in the fear of the living, just a little with the fear of the Lord actually ensure that we are in a place of blessing, in a place of peace, in a place of connection with the source of us. You know, today, the focus, you know, even in Christianity, is me, 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 you know, has to do with us. You are not the center of the universe. God is. Okay? We have to realize that. And we, when that happens, you know, just the focus is in the wrong place. And so there are consequences for that. Okay? Because we are not looking at the right thing. And when you, you know, what you look at, you know, you really end up giving power to. And sometimes that doesn't help. Okay? It says, you know, the great treasure with trouble. You know, the idea of treasure and connecting with the, you know, the fear of the Lord is a concept that is there, okay, in many, many, in some of the other scriptures too. And, you know, for example, we read already Isaiah 53:5, you know, says, you know, the Lord is exalted, for he dwell on high, and he has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Hallelujah. You know, the treasure is something, when you find the treasure, you know, this is really the things that is going to make a difference. Finding the treasure, okay, finding the fear of the Lord is really finding a treasure for ourselves, something from which we can draw out, you know, riches, and not physically only, but, you know, even physically, you know, but basically the focus has to be in the spiritual dimension in which, you know, all the other things are added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we understand that basic principle that Jesus taught at the beginning of his ministry, we're going to be able to experience a completely new dimension of what it means to walk as believers. Praise the Lord. See, treasure is, you know, that we can possess, that we can have, that is producing things like, you know, stability, wisdom, knowledge, and strengthen the salvation, strengthen our deliverance, our freedom that we get in the Lord from the bondages that are in the world. See, that's really, but we had to, you know, look, you don't find treasures just by chance. You had to look for it, for them. You had to look for them, and then you had to know where to find them. And this is really, okay, where the fear of the Lord has to do with just the same thing, type of thing, okay, it just doesn't come naturally to us. Doesn't happen automatically. There is, a connection that we have to understand and establish between the fear of the Lord and the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of God. Those two concepts are really strongly connected together. And they're reflected in many of the scripture. Okay, really, they help us to realize the way God deals with us, the way that we can connect with Him. And it's not in a natural way for us, because the flesh does not connect with God very well. You see, it's through our spirit that we connect with God. And we just don't, if we stay in the flesh, we are not going to be able to make that connection. We are not going to be able to actually, discover the treasure that He has prepared for us in the fear of the Lord. And because we do not understand how to connect with Him, the natural man, the flesh, runs away from God. It's the wrong type of fear. Instead of running to Him, because we need Him, because we should be connected with Him. Okay. One of the things that David clearly explained, okay, is how is important our connection with God's Spirit. Okay. How to be really closely connected. One of the things they said, in Psalm 139, where can I go from your Spirit? There is no place. Okay. Or where can I flee from your presence? See, this is the natural man responding, which is not the way that God wants for us to do. It's not the way for us to benefit. Okay. You see, it says, verse following, says, if I take the winds of the morning and dwell in the utter part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. You see, here he's showing already a change in the mentality, on the thinking, on the approach, realizing that this is where we, he's always leading us. He's always guiding us, okay? And your right hand shall hold me. So this is really, a realization that we had to come to, so that we are not there trying to hide from God as Adam did when he fell, even when we fall, but we run to Him because He is the answer, He is the solution for us. He is the supporter, He is the helper. Okay. And then goes on, okay, in the fact that your hand shall lead me and your right hand, okay, shall hold me. So this is the place of security, the place of strength. If you read Psalm 91, it just, being in His presence, that's where we receive all the protection from God, but being connected with Him, to be really, in a place in which we are under His protection. He is the one that keeps us. He is the one that holds us. He is the one that helps us in every situation. So we don't need to run away. We need to run to Him all the time. We have to actually, the best way is not even to run to Him, is to be there in His presence all the time. That is so that we are not separated. We are not, that's what Jesus had. He was in continuous communion with the Father. That's what the Father, having a relationship with God, this is what we should aim for. So that we are not there. Oh, Sunday morning, we better connect with God and start praying. Oh, God calls us to connect with Him without ceasing all the time. His presence is there for us. And we should be making that connection, because that is what makes all the difference. So that you really don't have to go any place to be in his presence, because you walk in his presence. And when you get separated because your attention is drawn somewhere else, you just don't feel good. You feel something is missing, and you get back there as soon as you can shift your focus. And even, you know, you get used, even when you are doing other things, you are connected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 34, okay, talks about, you know, this 15 talks about the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. So that's really the understanding, okay? We discuss about what righteous is, and we're going to see it even later on some more. But the idea is that, you know, the eyes of the Lord, God looks at us. God looks at us continuously, and he is there, okay, to help us to respond to our needs. You know, we connecting with God is more important than connecting with our needs. Because as we seek the kingdom of God, all these things are added unto us. So we have to learn to have that trust in him, leaning not on our own understanding or theology or ideas, because that's not going to help us. It's him, his presence with us, that is going to make all the difference. It's us, our trust in him, that makes that connection. So that we go to him instead of being distracted. When there are other things trying to get our attention, that's the time when we have to shift and get into his presence. You know, the few first verses of Psalm 91, they just give us that understanding to just go into the presence of the Most High. If we learn to do that, our life is different. Doesn't matter what's going on. His presence is more powerful than all the other things around us. When we start understanding that and experiencing that, nothing moves us anymore. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what God wants to impart to us. That's what makes the difference between being, okay, the way the world is, like the Gentiles are, and a true believer, connecting with him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. You know, the example of that is Jesus. Better than anyone else. Jesus is, that's the way he functioned. He operated all the time. He's our example more than anybody else. The only one we need is him. Praise the Lord. You know, in Isaiah, you know, in Isaiah prophesying about Jesus, give us an idea, an explanation of the way Jesus functioned, okay, the way he was operating inside spiritually, okay. So there shall come from a rod, from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from the grow will grow out of this root, okay. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So you see, that's the type of spirit was operating in him. The Spirit of the Lord wasn't, you know, the other thing, wasn't even himself. Okay, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Okay, so it ends up with the fear of the Lord. See, Jesus was, nobody can be that way. He was completely perfect. And he was functioning by the fear of the Lord. That was the stronger element. You see, those things that are there are listed, okay, is growing in intensity. And then to show that that is the case, the following verses, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. You see, that doesn't say, you know, that he delighted in the fear of the Lord. It's a big difference. He says his delight. That means, you know, his greatest delight was in the fear of the Lord. That was the spirit of motivation that was inside, operating inside him, in guiding him in all the steps and the decision that he made in his life. Praise the Lord. You know, if that was good for him, shouldn't be good for us. We needed much more than he did. Because he had no, you know, he overcame all the temptation. He was completely free from everything, but he still operated on the fear of the Lord. That should be an example for us, okay? His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by his hearing of his ears. So you see, this is the way he functions. Having the fear of the Lord for us helps us to become like Jesus. And that's what God wants us to become. There is no other way that we can become like him, that we can be transformed the way the transformation power is in the power, is in the fear of the Lord, is more than that. And that is who made him judge according not to his eyes, not to the physical things, not the what he hear, not the things, you know, really heard and decided and came to a conclusion. Okay. He his attitude, okay, was one of complete humility and dependence on God. That's what fear of the Lord brings about. Okay, putting God first. Living according to the first commandment. You shall love the God, Lord your God, with everything you got inside and everything you are. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, establish clear priorities about your values. God first. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is why he said more than once, we are going to see a couple of times in John chapter 5 verse 30, you know, I can do of myself, no, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. So you see, that's one of the elements of the attitude and motivation that he had, okay, is not to do his will, but to do the will of the Father. See, seeking that, seeking the own things, okay, that produced the right judgment, the righteous judgment that he did. That means the right decision if we choose as we walk in our walk. Okay. Choosing the will of the Lord, the will of God above our will. How do you do that? Going by the word. You choose what the word says to the way you feel, you think, or any other things if it's contrary to what the word says. Is not self-centered. Is not, okay, looking according to your own ideas, but is simply, you know, according to the word of God, you know, and you can too. Judge and think that way if you are staying the word and allowing the word to be internalized inside you. As the word becomes inside you and becomes the guiding rule that is inside there naturally, the first things that come to your mind when you have to make the decision is a scripture or a word or an idea that is not according to the way you feel, but according to the word. That's what was happening. This is why I said, you know, I do not seek my own, but what I seek is what the will of my Father. Okay. He said it again in John chapter 5, the same chapter, a few verses before, 19. You know, then Jesus said unto him, you know, most assuredly I say to you, that means, you know, that's for sure. Okay. The Son can do nothing in himself. You know, it didn't sound too convinced or, you know, too boastful about it or too secure about himself. Well, that's the two statements, you know, I can do nothing on myself, and I, you know, in both times, you repeat the same thing. That's not what the world of psychology said that you should be. Christianity tells you something different. It says you shouldn't be thinking that you can do it. We are going to see other scripture that even in Christianity often are interpreted the wrong way. And they don't mean what people generally interpret. We are not called to be secure in ourselves. Our security is in Him. Because ourselves, we are going to fail. There is a time we are not going to know what to do. See, you cannot have faith in yourself. If you are, you are a fool. Because you don't know very much. But He knows everything. And He has enough to guide us and to give us the help that we need. So as we trust in Him instead of trusting in ourselves, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. Lean not in your own theology. Lean not on your own strength. Lean not in your own ability to solve your problems. Because that's not the way it works well. Just acknowledge Him. Recognize Him. Let Him guide you. And He will. But, you know, if you have your own idea, your own solution, you're going to follow that. You have to reject those things before you're going to be seeing God able to communicate to you and to direct you in your path. You're not going to even hear Him giving you the direction and the just things. That's what Jesus did. See, that is the fear of the Lord. Now, you know, says, that was Jesus, you know, what about us? Well, that's a good example, a good point. You know, very good point. But the point is, we have examples after example of others, the way they walk, the way they did, and we start with Paul. Paul was, you know, attitude in ministry was evident from what he wrote, that he was really based and guided by the fear of the Lord. Now, if there is somebody that was fearless, it's Paul. He was tough. He was a fighter. So we had to see, okay, how that is manifested. To be able, if we can understand how God worked in Paul supernaturally to overcome, how God worked in him through the fear of the Lord then doesn't matter how strong personality we have. See, that's not a weakness that he's talking about. Depending on God is not a weakness in our personality. It's a strength. You have to be strong to trust in God. Now, Paul's attitude was not a weak, fearful person, but strong and determined. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellent speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." See, didn't come by his physical strength. Okay, but what does it say there? Okay. "For I determined to know nothing or anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was the only thing that he focused on. Okay, so he chose, okay, not to work according to the flesh, his ability, his good speech, or whatever he did, but working only on the gospel. Okay, not doctrines of man, complications of them, just simply the basic truth of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is the power of God unto salvation, he explained in Romans. Okay, the idea, 1:16. But, you know, here it is where really shows, okay, where the power is. Okay, not in anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then so the following verse shows the whole story, how he was operating. Okay, the following verse says, really in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and fear, and in fear, and much trembling." I mean, do you see this guy, Paul, that was determined, fearless, was able to do anything? And he's there ministering to people, okay? And his attitude was in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I mean, don't tell me that God, you know, fear and trembling, Paul. Does it make sense with that personality that he had? See, he's talking about here this attitude, his position, okay, of the fear of the Lord operating in him and realizing what's going on, what really the importance, what's the source of the power of God. The responsibility that he had in sharing the gospel. There wasn't, you know, was not his ideas, not his interpretation, not his preference, not even his doctrines. But was the gospel, the truth, the power of God. Simply, for make it just simple and to the point. Praise the Lord. See, that was a clear attitude and position that he took as he was dealing, for example, with the Corinthians, but not just for the Corinthians, with all the other places. That was his way of operating. That was the same as things that Jesus did when he was saying, "I myself, I can do nothing. I had to depend on the Father." We cannot be and do anything else but that if we want to have that power and that ability to actually operate and to be effective in the work of the ministry. Actually, probably, you know, that's the most important thing for you to do, to have, attitude to have in ministry in general. Without the fear of the Lord, you cannot minister. You should be scared even to preach the wrong thing, because then you are a false prophet or a false teacher You are not. And, you know, Jesus said very clearly, I don't know you. I don't care the show that you put up. See, that one makes the difference. See, this was Paul's attitude. He didn't care about anything else, but he wanted to make sure that he was aligned with the Word, aligned with the Spirit of God, aligned with the fear of the Lord, because that's what keeps you in the right path. If Paul said that, you know, and look at his life and look what he did, we should be thinking that, you know, we should learn something. And we have to understand how to do that. Because, as I said before, it's not natural. You see? And we're going to see more later on of that. Okay. So, says, continuing the following verse, you know, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive word of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Okay, so this is really the clear position that he has. I'm not going to do anything in my strength. I'm not going to do anything according to my ideas. I'm going to let the Spirit of God guide me into the things that I'm going to communicate, the things that are going to stress. My attitude is going to be guided by this factor here. Says, and close with that, so that your faith should not be based on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, that the attitude of should be, we should have in ministry. This is talking about actually, you know, the way he functioned in the ministry. Okay. No pride, no selfishness, no anything else, but actually, you know, let the Spirit of God do the work and not your abilities. See, that's the problem, okay, that often takes place because we try to base ourselves on other things. Okay. Hallelujah. That makes the difference, because we end up not operating in the flesh, but operating in the Spirit. And that should be our objective. You cannot minister properly in the flesh, in your abilities, in your skills. See, often people get guided by their abilities. There are some people that are really good speakers or find it very easy to communicate. And because of that, they think they have a mission. And so they appoint themselves to the ministry instead of being appointed by where it should come from. That's the biggest mistake anybody can do. Because what's going to happen, you're going to come through, it's you that you're coming through, and not the Spirit of God. Just look at all the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Who was generally chosen to do big job? People that were not qualified for in the physical. I mean, Moses. God grabbed him and sent it to Egypt. And he said, "Ooh, me? I'm stuttering. I can't do, I'm not qualified." See, we are not qualified by our skill. We are appointed to do the job. We can be stuttering. We can be messing up ourselves too. Doesn't matter. God knows who to use. Often, the people that don't want to do it are the ones really chosen. I never thought to be preaching. Okay. But you can see, you can know the God choice And you say, me? Are you joking? Praise the Lord. Anyway, let me continue here. So, you know, there is more. You know, this fear of the Lord doesn't just involve people in the ministry, it involves for everybody. And Paul gave instruction to believers, okay, how to walk the spiritual walk that we had to walk. I'm going to see just here in a moment, okay, in Philippians chapter 2. Says there, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, if you have always obeyed, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation, how? With fear and trembling. He's talking about the fear of the Lord here. The same thing. Are you following me? Okay, this is why he's not talking about fear. You know, he's talking about the fear of the Lord because we want to please him. We want to make sure that we are aligned with the truth. We are, you know, in working according to his way, not our way. The way Jesus walked, okay? In the general walk of believers, okay? Work out your salvation. You know, salvation is not a religious thing. Salvation is the deliverance from the things of the world. That's the way you work out your salvation. It's not by your works. It's by actually being open to the Spirit of God so that he's going to guide you into breaking all the bondages that are there, because when you are born again, you're not broken anything. You are just God inside, your nose inside the door. There is a little change that took place, but your understanding is practically zero. You just understand one thing, but there are so many things that the Lord has to show you. And so this is where the fear of the Lord becomes critical, because that's what enables you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and to be able to align yourself with it. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. So let me continue here. Okay, with fear and trembling. See, this is our life purpose. Our life purpose is really to work out our salvation. We are here for that purpose, most than anything else. Everybody. That doesn't exclude anyone. You can have, in that, there could be some other things according to God's appointments, but this is really the key thing, to work out your salvation. That means your deliverance from all the bondages of the world. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. And that involves one major thing. Okay. Go back to the verse I just finished reading. You have always obeyed. Okay. So that was a good thing. Said, you know, even when we are present. Now, even when you are not present. You see, the idea is that we have to become, see, that's the way you have to obey God's word to be able to work out your salvation. The two things are connected together. Do you see that? You see, that's where the deliverance comes from. It doesn't come by your theology. It doesn't come to, you know, what it comes from. It's obedience to the work of the Holy Spirit inside you. You cannot do it through your mind. The only way you're going to get spiritual result is actually connecting with the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit function is, to be your helper, to be your guide, to set you free, to bring you to become free, because he guides you into freedom, into the truth, and the truth set you free. You cannot do that just by Bible study. That may give you information. But after the study, the things that you studied, the idea that you got, have to be activated by the Holy Spirit so that you respond to that activation. And what happens? You are changed. You make decision. You take a stand. You take a position that lines up with the Word. And it's not that. That is not in your mind, in your thinking. That is in your heart. It's a decision you make. To judge the way Jesus said, my judgment is righteous because I do the will of the Father. The word is the will of the Father. And you align yourself with the will of the Father. And then you end up allowing the Holy Spirit, listen to him to start with. And that's the first step. Then you judge it. You accept the judgment of God. And then you are enabled to actually implement it in your life. That's where the power comes to overcome, to set you free. Then goes on and say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then goes on, he said, it is God who works in you. It's not you doing it. God is working in you. Both to will and to do is good pleasure. You see, he's implementing his will on you. That's what it says also in Romans chapter 12. You know, that the transformation, you know, the renewal of the mind is not just a mind thing. You know, that you're going to know the will of God and you're going to line up yourself with the will of God and you're obeying the will of God and you get free. Hallelujah. That's God's pleasure. That according to his will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, God wants you to cooperate with him in this process of deliverance, being set free, being sanctified, being separated from the world, and being changed into more and more Jesus' image. Hallelujah. See, that's what God wants. It's his plan. His plan is better than any plan you can do. He knows everything. You don't know much. And so his plan, and actually the order of his plan, the way this plan is going to progress, is critical. His priorities are much better than your priorities. Because his priorities are going to just keep progressing and moving and becoming more and more. It's easier, it's faster, and it's better. He's the greatest planner of the universe. He planned everything that you see in the universe. To the smallest atom and particle on the universe, to the biggest organization of things. Like your body, like the way you function. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me go back here a moment. See, God is working at you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay. Now, following verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? Because is God working in you? So whatever things happen, who's the devil? No, the devil can do anything that you haven't allowed it. Or by knowledge or ignorance. You move with God, and God is holding, and we saw before, in your hand. God is guiding you. And you don't know what's going on. If you stop making the devil powerful, believing in the devil more than God. You know, people, just Christians, don't understand. The devil has lost already. If you are in the right side, he can't touch you. And even if he touches you, and you are still connected with God, God give you the way out. But your attitude, the critical part of that, to actually pick it up, instead of complaining, instead of, you know, disputing, instead of making your own judgment, is to start making God's judgment so that you line up with him and he has a chance to get across and to guide you out of the mess. And in the world today, it's a mess because people go according to their way, even in the church. Unfortunately, it should be better, but that's the way it is, because the enemy penetrates in with these ideas, with these things. You know, transference of spirit is a real thing that we have to realize and be aware of so that we protect ourselves from those things. Because osmosis is very effective in getting stuff that shouldn't be there. Now, let me continue. Okay, without complaining and disputing, that means, you know, with obedience and cooperation, willingness. Okay. And then it goes on, it says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world. So you see, this is what we're talking about. I mean, we are going to be cleaned up. And he's doing, and we are not doing the clean up ourselves. He is the only one that can clean us up because we don't even know what to do. Okay, but he knows all things. This is why we have to trust him with everything you got, because if you don't trust him, you're not going to be open to be doing sometimes things that you would never have thought about it. Praise the Lord. Okay, you're going to shine as a light in the world that is dark. Okay. How you do that? Holding fast to the word of life. You see, it's the word that, you know, is there, but it's not just more the word. It's not just the letter. Is the word of life, the life that is operating in the world, and so that you are connected with it in a spiritual way, so that you are open through your spirit to actually allow that by your cooperation, by your willingness, by your understanding, by the connection with the Holy Spirit, by your obedience to it, to the direction you get, that is going to manifest the changes. Hallelujah. That shows, okay, the way it works in the normal walking of life. Still is the fear of the Lord, as you can see. I am finished, okay. In other places, okay. for example, in Philippians chapter 4, okay. I heard some people preach about stuff upside down completely, so I'm going to make sure that you hear it properly. And many times this is not used properly. Okay, not just that, but some of the things. So, Philippians chapter 4 verse 10 says, "But I rejoice," Paul is rejoicing about, you know, "in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but lacking opportunity." Okay, here he's saying, I'm glad that you provide for me, that you, you know, your care for me has flourished again. So started again. Okay, but why is he rejoicing? Okay. I heard the preacher recently talking about that, you know, was covering Philippians for a week, you know, and half an hour each day. And the only thing he talked about, I mean, Philippians is one of the most powerful book in the what Paul wrote about. It's full of power and understanding. And the only thing the guy talked about was this verse. Using it to say, you see, you know, he rejoiced so that they could be blessed. And so, you know, because they supplied for their ministry. This is not what he's saying here. God, you know, Paul was not rejoicing because he was blessed. The following verse says very clearly, not that I speak in regard my needs. To need, for I have learned, for whatever state I am, to be content. So, had nothing to do with the fact that his needs were going to be provided. What he was rejoicing is the day got the understanding in which they were no more selfish, and they were ready to give to others. That finally they got a better understanding of where we the attitude that we should have. Let me continue here. So, not that I speak in regard of my needs, for I have learned for whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to be how to abound everywhere, and I am all things. I have learned both to be full or to be angry, both about and to to abound and to suffer need. So, you know, I learn, okay, I know how to be abased. See, the word I know is eidor, which actually means, you know, I have knowledge, I have learned something. I have learned to do these things. I learned to do all these things and I manage. My needs are not concerning me. That's what he was saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, your needs are not a problem anymore when you are connected with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. According to God's plan. Let me continue. Yeah. So, that was not what he was motivated by. But was motivated by the fact that they were, he was glad because they had broke through in that particular area, or the area of giving. Okay. And then goes on there, say, you know, I know to be abased and everything. And then goes on, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. This scripture generally is used completely in what doesn't mean. See, because it's translated funny. He's not talking about, you know, I'm going to be at the victory all the time. He's not, I'm so strong that I can beat any situation. No, he say, the word there, properly translated, is, okay, I know, okay, yeah, I can do, sorry, the word can do is cure. Which actually means I have strength, I prevail no matter what's going on. Are you following what I'm saying? I can prevail if I am abundant or if I not have nothing. If I have a need or if I don't have a need. Doesn't matter what the physical circumstances are, I can manage. But that's not what is generally used. I mean, you know, we are facing some situation and some people say, oh, I can do all things to strengthen me. You know, and thinking that that is, I'm going to have the strength to overcome. That's not what it's saying. Go and check it out. That is the truth. See, people take one verse out of context and make it a doctrine, when instead it's a false doctrine. So you expect something in a certain way, you claim it to get it, and you just going to not get it, and then you are surprised, why didn't work? Because you made it up. See, unfortunately, sometimes the translation doesn't quite reflect the actual meaning of the word. And God didn't speak in English. When he wrote those things, he spoke Greek. Okay, so, see, you say that, you know, I can do all things in this, through Christ to strengthen me, okay? And you say with the fear of the Lord, with the connection with the Lord, okay? You actually say, you know, that, you know, I have the strength to handle any situation I get through because Christ is, through Christ is in me. That's the thing. Yeah, but the important thing, the most important part of all is through Christ in me. That means, are you in Christ? Or are you trying to boast yourself up? See, being in Christ is not just a confession you make. Being in Christ is a reality that is taking place inside you, and you are aligned with his will. You see, being in Christ is really, you could almost equate it to having the fear of the Lord, being in obedience to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Our confidence is not that I can do all things. Our confidence is our trust in him. See, that your faith is that the key of your faith is not your focus and your focus on the things that you want. Your focus is on God. And as you focus on God, then he is the one who works in you to do his will. And you are obeying him. Without obedience, you are fooling yourself. So this is so important to understand because that makes it, Paul wasn't a fool. He understood very well these things, and you can see it in his life. You know, he's not just talking theory. That's what he lived. Time flies. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, often people get the desire to be in the ministry, and you know, and they call themselves. And that probably is the biggest mistake that anybody can do. And the word says that. Said him very clearly. You see, being zealous, being, you know, doesn't help you. Calling yourself is the biggest mistake anybody can do. And today, that's what is generally done. People appoint themselves to all different positions, prophets, apostles, everything else, when instead, that's not the way it works. In James chapter 3, verse 1 says very clearly, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I didn't say that. You see, you want to be, first of all, you see, the problem with the stricter judgment is not a problem. I mean, if that's what God called you to do, you know, is because you are going to be able to handle it. But if you're not going to be able to handle it, that means you didn't have the equipment that God gives to the people that he appoints. And if you don't have the equipment of the people that he appoints, what happens? That you're going to mess it up. So you're not just doing the normal bad things that you would do by yourself, but you adapt the stuff that you are trying to do out of your own pride and ambitions. You cannot be ambitious and serve the Lord. Because your ambition is going to be against yourself. That's why blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. That's why Moses was chosen, because he was humble. That's why Jesus was humble. He wasn't self-appointed. He was prepared for that, created that way. You cannot do any other way to serve God, because it's a spiritual walk, it's a spiritual work, and if you're not done in the flesh, then you are going to mess it up. Oh, you can have a big, you know, you can have a big business. And have a business. Well, if you have a business, probably is better. At least you don't get in the problem. You're not going to be judged worse. But if you have to try to make church a business, you are off. Now, okay. I think the people do that, they are going to greatly regret it. But anyway, see, your education, your desires, your smooth talking, you know, your oratorical ability, they don't count. They don't qualify you. It's walking in the Spirit that is going to do. It's having the fear of the Lord that is going to enable to do that. Praise the Lord. That's what is going to keep you off mistakes. Otherwise, you're going to fall into one after the other. And you're going to think that you're going to do a good job, because you're working in the flesh. And the flesh attracts flesh, and you're going to get the following. Now, this is another area. Paul again, teaching how in our relationship with the world around us. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 6. Some people don't like this chapter because talk about some things, but it is really interesting to understand that God doesn't think the way according to our political ideas of today. Okay? So verse 6, Ephesians 6, verse 5 says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as of to Christ." So you see, I mean, what this fear and trembling has to do all the time has to do with the fear of the Lord. And we have to do as we are serving Christ. Okay. Not with the eye service as men pleaser, but as bond servants of Christ. Bond servants are really the slave that give themselves and didn't want to be set free because they were dedicated themselves to the Lord or to the owner, the master. Okay? Says, you know, not with eye service as men pleaser, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So he's talking about, you know, today you translate, you know, just do what your boss tells you to do and do it in the right attitude. That's what he's talking about. That you have to apply that properly in the proper context. It says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So this is simply pretty clear. I mean, you are there, guided by the fear of the Lord, in dealing with people around you that generally you don't think about, the possibly they're not even believers. Because he doesn't say that there are believers here. Okay, later on, talk about the other side. Okay. Okay, so that involves some understanding, some, you know, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not as to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether it is a slave or free. So whatever good you do, the law of sowing and reaping, you're going to benefit from it. So knowing that, the word knowing that is eido, and it actually means to understand, to be aware, and to perceive, to consider that. Okay, so you have to know that. And you masters, that has to do with the one, the boss, essentially. He said, your boss, okay, he's talking about a boss that is a believer here, okay, not as anybody else. Do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So, you know, he's going to judge you. You're going to have, you know, you are going to have to report to him just as much as they had to report to you. And he's just. He knows very well what is right and what is wrong, and you're going to be judged accordingly. See, that is where the fear of the Lord comes into the picture. Do you see what I'm talking about? So the fear of the Lord is going to help you not just to do the right thing with the Lord. It's going to help you and guide you in every situation of your life, even in your job situation. Silence. Are you following what I'm saying? Wow, time is gone. I haven't finished. Ah, well, I may have to do another. Okay. See, really, even Peter, let's just have a little final with this. Even Peter says the same thing. Peter's instruction about with the fear of the Lord is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to his prayer, their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Or he's really addressing this. You know, this is the same. There are very similar things in Proverbs and other scripture in the Old Testament. You know, it's always the same. There is no difference the way God deals with people, Old Testament and New Testament. There are maybe some slightly superficial differences, but, you know, the principles are the same. You know, the fact that the Lord is open to their prayer. This is actually taken directly from the Old Testament scripture. Okay, it's open to their cry, this is in the other place, but doesn't matter. You know, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So that's really the principle, okay, that, you know, those who are righteous, that mean understanding about, okay, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You know, the righteous is really not just somebody that said this in his prayer. The righteous is somebody that does the right thing. Because if you, the sinner prayer or the other, any prayer thing, or whatever you did, you know, have been saved, then that's going to be manifested in your behavior. And if it's not manifested, sorry, you know, faith without works is dead. So, praise the Lord. The law of sowing and reaping works all the time in every situation in your life, in any situation you have. And so it becomes very important to grow and to understand the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is going to make you do the right thing, and it's making you to connect with God and keep the relationship with God that God wants to have with you. Okay. The problem is, and there is a problem, our flesh doesn't like the fear of the Lord. So, you know, this is, so it's a topic that it bothers you, that's your flesh reacting to what God does spiritually, or his way, his spiritual way. You know, without complaining and disputing there, you know, the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they were in the desert, were complaining all the time. And God was really ticked off with them because of their complaining. In Psalm 78, I think, you know, it says very clearly what was going on and why they died in the desert. Because they were complaining instead of listening and responding. If they would have been having the fear of the Lord, like Moses and like some of the others, few. Why few? Because the flesh does not like spiritual thing, the spiritual walk. Okay, so we had to understand that and realize that we had to smarten up. And I'm not going to talk about that because already I ran over the time. But there is in Psalm 34, verse 11, says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So, if you are a child of God, he will teach you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking there. And there are more than one place in the Bible, in the Word of God, in which actually teaches you specifically some of the things that we need to understand. Some of them we have covered a bit already for Psalm 34, but we're going to cover them again. But that's not the only place. In Proverbs, there is actually a place in which it goes in specific about your attitude, the things you had to do to be able to open up to the Spirit, to the fear of the Lord, and to be able to understand it. See, from your attitude opening up, and from doing the right thing, then you get the understanding. It's not the other way around. You cannot get it because it's a spiritual thing. It's not a mental thing. It's not fear, generally, is involved in emotions and things. It's not a question of an emotion. It's the opposite. And so we are going to look at that next week. But that's the key. You see, that is the key for us to be able to get the benefit. And we saw already all the benefit, you know, that's the way to get blessed, you know, to have the fear of the Lord in us. But when we understand how to actually get there and why we don't get there at times, we are going to look at all these things. Okay. Our reaction is to block us from actually being able to connect with the Lord. How we can handle that, and actually how we can move in to receive it and to understand it. And when you understand that, there is another thing that we get. See, in Psalm 103, I think verse 7 or something like that, says, you know, that Moses understood the way of the Lord. The children of Israel, you know, saw his works. That's a big difference. You know, somebody that sees what God is doing but doesn't understand what's going on doesn't do much job, much better, cannot do anything. You have to understand why, his way of doing things. See, the fear of the Lord enable you to actually see why does certain thing. And you cannot figure it out in any other way. I think this is a good place to stop. Praise the Lord. Let's bring closing prayer. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see, to be open willing to be obedient and to listen to your word, so that we may be able to connect with you according to your ways, and we may be breakthrough, and may have, you know, grow, and may grow in your salvation. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.